Flow-restricted rehabilitation, a progressive, evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and from the Roger Hartsook interview room, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com, Blake Cripps. Tim Miller has the day off. Dylan Sherwood joining me. Dan Courtright in the penalty box getting us started this morning. And Dylan, boy, you know, just to start the show off here, good night for the area high school teams, at least the two that we were covering.
Yeah.
You had a win. Mr. Deeker had a win. Mm-hmm. And so the Opie Eagles and the Chase County Bulldogs both moving on in, both were, I guess Opie had the big lead, just kind of had to hold on, didn't have to do much in the fourth quarter. But your game was tight. Tie ball game after three, but Chase County finds a way, moves on, and so continuing to move along in the eight-man Division I playoffs.
Yeah, it's a great ride to be a part of right now. This Chase County team and Coach Derek Buckey mentioned it in my post game with him. They had 15 guys last night, and the thing that's key that he mentioned to me, and he also sent an email out, the biggest stat of the night, zero plays that his guys didn't, well, that's what it says on his email, but they were playing their hearts
out. Zero plays, our guys didn't play hard, according to Derek Butke.
Yeah.
So, hey, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you track that. There's probably a way.
Yeah.
Coach Butke, you know, when you get your team into the – what are they in? There's sectionals now, right?
Yeah, this will be sectionals for both.
And then the win away from sub-state.
Yeah.
So, man, you know, you get to the Final Eight in a season, you probably have guys that are playing hard. And they should be playing hard this time of the year, and it's awesome that they are. And they certainly had a couple of big plays last night in that game to bust it open there in the fourth. And then Coach Schmidt, the Eagles just keep on going, despite injuries last week, at the quarterback position. But, boy, they have been really tough to score on defensively. It led up the two there in the fourth quarter. I know that Coach Schmidt's not going to be too happy about that. But, outside that last 12 minutes, boy, they were dominant defensively in their win as they won a District 2 showdown.
Yeah, and I know Coach Schmidt's assistant, Terry Smith, always has a really good defensive plan. And I've covered the Eagles before, and there have been some really good defensive game plans that I've seen and really good defensive performances from Opie. And I think they're going to, come back and regroup. And with a big one coming up next Friday, they're going on the road to Winchester. They're going to take on Jefferson County North, who knocked off Centralia last night 16-0. And so I believe this will be the first meeting since, 2017 between Opie and Jefferson County North. It could be later, but I remember there was a game in 2017 where Opie met and JCN met in the sectional round. Game played in Opie, and the game was only 7-0, and Opie ended up going to Pittsburgh to face St. Mary's Colgan and ended up losing a close game in the sub-state of the 1A playoffs, because in 18, the next year, Opie made it to the 1A state championship game and lost to Smith Center.
So a very, very busy Saturday for us here on the show. Coming up today, we'll be talking with James Westling. He is an ESPN play-by-play covering college football. He has been assigned to Big 12 basketball as well. He is right here out of the Sunflower State. his base of operations is Salina. I've known him for quite a while. We're getting him on today to talk college football, talk about him a little bit. You don't see a lot of ESPN guys coming out of Kansas.
No.
He is coming. He works in Salina, went to Kansas State, huge Wildcat fan. So we're talking to him today coming up, and we'll definitely be getting him back on during basketball season, especially since he's on the ESPN Big 12 rotation. So fantastic to have him on. We'll, of course, be talking with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. And also, we'll be joined by Unified Bowling Coach Andy Battenfield for our Spartan interview today as we start to transition over to winter sports, which means that we've got pretty much a month lined up of winter sports previews after this. Unified Bowling, they're going to be in action at the regionals coming up next week. We talked with Coach Battenfield about that in the interview. I had to call him. He was unavailable today, so we recorded it yesterday. But they're going to be in action next week in postseason play. But after that, we're moving on to the winter. We've got a lot of great Spartan previews coming up to look at Spartan sports in terms of basketball, bowling, a couple of wrestling teams, and maybe even some swimming and diving after the new year.
Yeah, and it's going to be, what's it now, 27 days until the Spartan season opener against Ottawa in Spartan.
Yeah, December 1.
Yeah, December 1.
First Friday of the month.
Yeah.
Not too far away. I mean, I know that you're hoping you're going to have some football to call in between now and then. And
hey,
we
keep
will.
Me busy.
Hey, yeah, Coach Butke, he wants to work. Let me make Dylan work. He wants to work. So Friday next week, we'll have Chase County back on Country 101.7. Mm-hmm. Olpe fans, your signal and frequency is going to move to KVOE. You'll have pregame at the same time, 6:35 both places, 7 o'clock. But Olpe, you'll be moving to KVOE, and that is, of course, because we'll have Emporia State basketball on Friday next week. That will be on Mix 104.9. And probably means that Kansas State, don't they play on Friday? Probably means Kansas State is not getting covered.
Well, it's KU.
KU is not getting covered.
Well,
sorry, Jayhawk fan.
Yeah,
my apologies.
They play Manhattan and Manhattan College.
They'll beat Manhattan by about 1,000 points, so don't worry about it.
Yeah,
we'll have the rest of the games, but KU, yeah, we're not going to make it on Friday. So
yeah,
sorry.
We got to make our adjustments.
We sure do.
And I knew that was going to be what happens. Was KU was going to get knocked off the air, but I mean, we have to do what we gotta do.
Yeah, we definitely are excited for the Eagles and for the Bulldogs. Congratulations
definitely.
To the area teams, Chase County with the win here in Olpe, and we'll be certainly continuing to follow them as long as they go. It's time for a timeout. When we come back, we'll go ahead and get started here with our interviews today. Andy Battenfield of Emporia High Unified Bowling is going to be on the other side of the break here as we come back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com on KVOE, live and local.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs, or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Ron Thomas at Freedom Fest 2023 here at the All Veterans Memorial near Soden's Grove. This is the 20th annual Freedom Fest, and we have a lot of stuff going on here today. And Steve Harmon, lead organizer, 20 years. Congratulations on that.
Hey, thanks. Great way to start off 20 years is great weather and great show. I mean, we're going to have 250 people probably here.
Well, that's awesome, isn't it? And let's see, we're going to be riding, we're going to be rucking. Let's talk about that ruck march first. You've got a lot of participants in that today.
Right, we kick it off with a bang with our very first Norwegian foot march, which is a ruck march hosted by the Vigilance Martial Arts Group and the Kansas Enlisted Association, and that's going to be our huge event. And they're weighing in right now. checking in right now. They'll go out the door at 8:15, and then at 9 o'clock we'll start with our Freedom Rides, with our Merchant Cycle Freedom Ride, and then we'll follow that up with Lyon County State Bank USC 252 Honor Flight Ride. And then after that, it just keeps going with a 5K and a 10K run. And then we close it out with a bang with our 101st Dog Company reenactors at 3:30. Taking the Bridge, year three.
And Dynamic Disc will be here with the Dynamic Disc Freedom Open, and they'll be launching that at noon, correct?
That's right. And start at noon, they'll have their flight. It's only set up once a year, so if you can do the Dynamic Disc Freedom Open, come on down and throw some discs, and they have a custom disc for everybody that's participating, and that's always an awesome event too, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, this is the Eric McCabe design course at the Stodens Grove Park that's only used a couple of times a year, so good opportunity there. And more stuff going on here, food trucks, and you got an expo here too.
Yeah, we'll have 250 participants, but we have the Freedom Fest Expo that's open to everyone in the community and the family and friends that are participating. Check out the giant toy. I call it the military ATV. It's a MATV. Check one of those out. We haven't had one of those in Emporia before. We have the 101st reenactors with their display items. We have 15 vendors. We have Wagon Wheel Bar and Grill selling some breakfast food and lunch food. It'll be fantastic, and more to follow.
It is a great day. It's the 20th anniversary of Freedom Fest, all to benefit what, Steve?
Multiple organizations. It all started out benefiting this beautiful memorial that we're at right now, the All Veterans Memorial, and we'll continue to support that. This year, we're also benefiting the Honor Flight that USC 252 does. This will be their 12th or 13th. North Lyon County Veterans Memorial Park, helping them out as well. And then the Veterans Scholarship Program for soldiers and airmen of the Kansas National Guard from Kansas. So that will be a great project.
Great causes, all saluting our veterans in the founding city of Veterans Day, about a week away from Veterans Day. So we encourage you to stop by the All Veterans Memorial and be a part of Freedom Fest, the 20th annual Freedom Fest from the All Veterans Memorial. I'm Ron Thomas for KVOE, AM 1400, 96.9 FM, Country 101.7, and Mix 104.9.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Legendary basketball coach Bob Knight passed away this week at the age of 83. He finished his career with 902 victories, the most ever at the time of his retirement, and won three national championships with Indiana. He also won a national title as a player at Ohio State in 1960. Knight was hired in 1965 as the head coach of Army and took over Indiana in 1971. 5 years later, the Hoosiers etched their place in college basketball history.
Scotty Mays, jumping up and down. Look at him embrace Harold Andrews. And Bobby Knight raised hands in the air. Unbelievable. Indiana's number one. They've won it. They're the national champion for 1976.
Don Fisher on Learfield as the Hoosiers beat Michigan to complete the last undefeated season in men's Division I basketball. In 29 years in Bloomington, Knight coached 16 All-Americans, including Indiana's current head coach, Mike Woodson.
Make no mistake about it, Indiana basketball is Bob Knight. And, you know, we can sit and say all the good things he's done, all the bad things he's done. He put that university and that program on the map, without a doubt.
Knight finished his coaching career in 2008 after seven seasons with Texas Tech. He was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in 1991.
Discover, this is Daniela.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great, but with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Do you like asparagus and mushroom sorbet? I've got leftovers.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
On Monday, we'll have a preview of that on our next show. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk, driven by longbyandauto.com. Blake Cripps and Dylan Sherwood with you here this morning. And a new program that got introduced this week and this year at Emporia High School is Unified Bowling. It's a new sport across the state of Kansas, and the Spartans are fielding a team this year. Their first-year head coach, Andy Battenfield, is leading the Spartans into their regional coming up later in November. It'll be on the 9th of November down in Hutchinson. Andy Battenfield joins us on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line to talk about Spartan Unified Bowling. Thanks so much for being on the show with us, Coach.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, how has this first unified bowling season gone for you, and how excited were you to get this all put together for this team?
For the first question, I feel like it has gone very well. Our main goal was just to get kids that don't normally have the opportunity to compete in high school sports to be able to have that opportunity. And we've done that with our first four matches, our meets that we've had, and seeing the smiles from those kids and the improvement they've made just in this short season, it's been a great thing that we've seen so far.
Coach, can you talk about what grades these kids are in? I know a couple of names that are assisting, like a Colton Swift, a Taylor McKay, Nate Green are just a couple of names. I know Drake Lutz is a senior, with him winning a homecoming king earlier this fall. But do you have like a variety of athletes from different grades?
Yeah, I do, and it is exactly as you said. Like it is a variety. I think we only have maybe one freshman and a few sophomores, and then a couple juniors, and then a couple seniors. So it's kind of been a bit of a spread, which is going to be nice for in the future, so we can kind of keep building from there.
Andy Battenfield is our guest. He is the unified bowling coach at Emporia High School, getting set for regionals coming up on November 9th. You've had two teams for the most part this year. Do you like that number? Is that the right number for Emporia High, or do you feel like maybe in future seasons there might be room to expand?
I feel like there would be room to expand. I think this was probably good for our very first year to kind of get our feet wet and kind of see what it's like and see what the meets were like, because my assistant coach, she's a little more familiar with bowling than I am, but she was kind of unsure how the format for the meets went and everything, but we kind of was just flying by the seat of her pants and figured it out, and we've been doing had a pretty good season so far by looking at the numbers, that is.
Coach, can you talk about how much improvement you've seen in the inaugural season for these kids?
I think the big improvement that I've seen is just in the quality of bowling that our unified kids have had, and so, like, for example, like we've had a lot of kids here later in the season getting their first spares and their first strikes, which has been kind of really cool to see whenever we didn't start out that way. And the way that our other bowlers have improved in our ways of like trying to focus more on just themselves whenever they're bowling, and then when it's time for them to be done bowling, they focus on that unified athlete that they're usually paired with or in a group with.
So do you have kind of the same athletes paired with each other each week? Do you rotate it, or how did you go about setting that up?
Well, we decided we were going to rotate it so all of them could work with, we could see what the dynamics worked with all of them. And then whenever we came here to regionals, sadly, we can only take one team. So we had to essentially cut a few kids so that we could only take that one team. So we were just kind of seeing what the dynamics were with those kids and tried to pull together a group of kids that may work well together whenever we go to regionals and compete.
Andy Battenfield is our guest. He's the unified bowling coach for Emporia High School. You mentioned that this has kind of been a process of discovery, figuring things out, tweaking things. What do you feel like that you and your coaching staff have learned the most, and what do you hope that your kids, your athletes, have learned the most from this process?
I think what I've learned the most is just learning how we can run a practice for these kids, because it's a little bit different than what we would do whenever we bowl for the Emporia High School bowling team, and how we can get those regular athletes to work with those unified athletes during practice and helping them grow as well as us. So that's kind of one of the biggest things that we've learned probably. As for the bowlers, I feel like they've learned to work together as a team and have that camaraderie with others in the team. So, like, for example, when we first started, some of the bowlers kind of were standoffish and didn't know how to react with each other. And as the season progressed, I saw that change, and a lot of everybody's talking to each other and they're all working together and being friendly and that sort of thing, and that camaraderie just built as the season went on.
Coach, with regionals coming up on Thursday, you guys are going to Hudge. Can you explain to our listeners, and I know with me as well, how does the qualification go for state? Where do you guys need to place at to get to the state meet?
The regionals is in Hutchinson, and whenever we go, we have to place top five to make it to state, and I believe there's 12 teams. I believe I haven't counted the total number, but approximately 12 teams. So we're going to have to, finish in the top five to be able to make it to state. And most of our meets that we have been going to all season, we've been finishing 5, 6, and around in there. So, and I'm hoping that we can continue that and be able to make it to state for our very first year.
Andy Badenfield, our guest, he is the head unified bowling coach for Emporia High School. You mentioned the teams that you have in a regional. Maybe you've looked, maybe you haven't. But in terms of the programs that you've been facing all year, in this first year of unified bowling, obviously, doesn't necessarily have the tradition. Certainly the bowling teams that each school has, I'm sure, will have an effect on the quality of the unified team that they're able to produce. But who have been the other unified teams that have had really strong results in the events that you've seen this year and that you anticipate will be tough competition for you in the regional?
I'm assuming Hutchinson will have probably a pretty good team. They seem like they have a good team. We have not officially faced them in any events, any of the regular season events, because mostly we go to Topeka and Lawrence for those four. So, but outside of our region, I know that, Washburn Rural, they seem to always have a pretty decent team. Topeka Seaman always has a really good team as well. So, outside of our region, it's them. But within our region, I don't think we've competed against anybody in that group. So it's going to be kind of a new group of people that we're competing against.
Coach, what are you going to take away from this first year of unified bowling, knowing it's a program to continue to build? And I know you and Amy Martin will learn some things and then maybe kind of incorporate some things to your regular bowlers when they start coming in late December and when they start meets in January?
Yeah, so I think what I'm going to take from this is just getting all the things that we've learned and trying to apply those to next year, and having that base knowledge from this year, it's going to be so much better. And I'll know where I need to start and what kind of things I need to look for in certain bowlers and that sort of thing. So it's been it has been a big learning year. I've learned a whole lot, and I am ready for next year already to hit the ground running, I guess you could say. And for our regular bowlers, I feel like they're going to be a little more ready, especially those few that are our other bowlers that bowl for the high school team. I think they're going to be ready because bowling in this type of a situation is way different than what it is whenever we're at a high school meet. So,
well, final question for you. What are your goals for this program as you move into year two?
My goals is to get the program to grow more. It would be nice to have more bowlers. So I'm hoping that kind of the word gets spread throughout the high school, and so that we can build our program and get a few more teams in the future.
Andy Badenfield, the head unified bowling coach for Emporia High. Once again, they're headed to Hutchinson for the regional on November 9th, appearing on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Thank you so much for your time, Coach. More to come here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. When we come back, we will have James Westling. He is an ESPN play-by-play personality. He'll be covering Big 12 basketball this fall, but he's got a full slate of football, so we'll be talking about college football with him out of Salina, Kansas. And then, of course, our weekly visit with Mitch Holtis. That's coming up on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE, live and local.
Home inventory in Emporia continues to be tight. A mortgage pre-approval from Emporia State Federal Credit Union can give you a leg up with sellers, proving you're a serious buyer with the means to purchase a home. With a short phone call to Jared Gurman or Isabel Lopez or easy online application, you can be pre-approved. Tell your realtor you'll be using Emporia State Federal Credit Union to finance your new home. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Everyone's transportation needs are different. And everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs, or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
The 20th annual Freedom Fest at the All Veterans Memorial here on KVOE Country 101.7 and Mix 104.9. What a great day it's going to be, and there is a lot of stuff going on here as we celebrate 20 years of Freedom Fest. Riding, rucking, disc golfing, running, walking, all kinds of stuff. And Jessica Buchholz, Emporia Main Street, is with us. Well, Jess, first, congratulations on 20 years of this.
Well, thank you. It's quite a sight so early this morning. We have tons of folks already here getting checked in for the ruck. It is the biggest event that we have this year. It's making the whole event start a little bit earlier, so it's a little dark out here, but we're making do, and we've got like 125 people checking in for the ruck right now.
Yeah, that is great, and that is 25 pounds. They'll be tugging with them, and they're going 30 kilometers too, so that's something else. But we have all kinds of things going on here, don't we?
Absolutely. So in addition to the ruck, we have a 5K, we have a 10K, we have a 20-mile ride, a 53-mile ride, and the Spur Challenge.
And, of course, disc golfing over there too, right?
That's right. So there is a noon round of disc golf. And so if you'd like to still sign up and come down and play, you can certainly do so on site. And you can really, you know, if you get a wild hair and want to come do a 10K this morning, you can still come and sign up on site too.
Yeah, indeed. And we're raising money for a great cause here, aren't we? I should say causes.
That's right. Lots of causes, actually. We have, we're supporting the USD 252 Honor Flight. We're helping with the North Line County All Veterans Memorial, the Emporia All Veterans Memorial. We have a scholarship fund that we donate to. And then we also have our Soldier Care Package program. So there's just lots of awesomeness happening.
Well, we want to encourage people to stop down here, because if you aren't specifically participating in an event, there's something for everyone here.
Absolutely. So we'll have military vehicles on display, and then there's also a World War II reenactment on Soden's Bridge that'll start around 3:30.
It's all going on all day today at the All Veterans Memorial. Stop down and be a part of Freedom Fest. And let's see, Emporia Main Street kicking off their care packages for the soldiers, too?
That's right. So you can come down today and make a contribution, or you can go online and make a donation to help with shipping and then just purchasing items, or you can come down and see us at 727 Commercial Street. We'll really be gathering items throughout the holidays.
Emporia Main Street, a big part of Freedom Fest, a big part of a lot of things around town here. Jessica, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. We appreciate all the support.
We encourage you to come on down. Freedom Fest at the All Veterans Memorial. I'm Ron Thomas here at Freedom Fest for KVLE AM 1400, 96.9 FM, Country 101.7, and Mix 104.9.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBuyAnAuto.com. Appearing with us now on the Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line, it's not often that a Kansas guy gets called up to the big time, but that's exactly what has happened to James Wessling, a guy that I have known and worked with in several different enterprises over the years. He is based out of Salina, Kansas. He works in operations for a local radio group there, has for years, does sports, sales, and I don't know, is there anything you don't do, James? But he has also gotten an ESPN contract. He covers play-by-play for volleyball, basketball, and football at the collegiate level for the worldwide leader. And I thought, you know what, a guy that certainly can talk KU and Kansas State athletics for any amount of time that we'd want to have him on, but also a guy to come in and just kind of rap about college football with, since we're in the middle of that right now. James, it is great to have you on the program. How are you?
Man, I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for that introduction and having me on. As you noted, we go way back to the old Southwest Kansas days, and it's been a fast-paced year. I can't believe that we're already, approaching week 9 or 10 of football season. It's wild. So it's been a blur, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you know, I can recall back when, you know, you and I were both doing radio play-by-play in the Mink League. And you guys, I think, were doing the Junction City Generals, and I was there as the voice of the Chillicothe Mudcats, and, you know, go through Rockingham, and then, you know, that split happened, and your own company, and then, you know, we're doing KCAC network games together, and you're doing ESPN Plus on the television side, and, you know, now from ESPN Plus and the KCAC, now a full ESPN schedule. What's the journey been like for you to get to this point in your television broadcasting career?
Yeah, I would say the Cliff Notes version, because there's a lot that has gone into it. The biggest thing is probably 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of saw the direction that when it comes to television play-by-play, I saw a lot of room for growth and opportunities. And so after doing radio for so many years, which is obviously what I came up in, I just kind of wanted a new play-by-play challenge. And radio and TV are so incredibly different. It was really eye-opening right away. And my big break, I would say, is I kind of got my foot in the door as on a fill-in basis with Kansas State, my alma mater. I did some stuff for Flow Hoops out of Austin, Texas, where I actually, summer of 2019, to get tape, I drove all the way to Austin, Texas, did a couple of games from their studio headquarters, remote, wasn't even on site, and then turned around and drove all the way back home 9 or 10 hours, and actually did that 3 times over the course of a one-month period, August of 2019. So I kind of started to get some tape, and then really my big break, I would say, was 2 years ago. Central Arkansas hired me. I sent my demo reel, which was very short, there wasn't a lot there, to just about any school I could think of within an 8-hour radius drive time. And Central Arkansas was 6 hours and 45 minutes from door to door. And they hired me to be... They hired me to be the voice of their home football games and home men's and women's basketball games. And I did that for a year. And unbeknownst to me, they had hired a ESPN consultant who had retired but been part of ESPN behind the scenes for over 30 years. And he was helping them kind of get their broadcasts off the ground because they were joining the new league and it was all new to them. And he really liked my work, and he got me connected with some of the big wigs at ESPN. And summer of 2022, I interviewed with them, ended up getting 5 football games and 10 basketball games on just a kind of a one-off per game rate where they would, you know, they would just hire me for that one single event. But I had 15 events that first year, and then this year I got what they call a recurring contract, where I have a minimum number of events from the end of August to the end of April. And so it's wild in terms of scheduling and short notice and all these flexed TV times for football. We never really know where we're going until about a week out. But at least I know that I have a game every week, and so I can do a little bit of planning in terms of being busy on a Saturday afternoon.
James, I know you've done some Big 12 basketball recently. I know you did a couple games in Morgantown with the West Virginia Mountaineers. You know, what was it like for you, you know, with you being a Kansas State guy, to be able to go to opposing venues that you hadn't seen before?
Yeah, that's a big part of it that I absolutely love. And even now, you know, going to all these different football stadiums and exploring all these different cities that I've never been to. And even if I have been to them, I always find something new. And we meet with the coaches a lot of times in person on Friday afternoons for football games, at least in person for the home team. And so we get to tour the facilities. And, you know, I met with the North Texas football coach. I had their game against Memphis this past weekend, and we sat in his office for about an hour on a Friday afternoon going over, you know, X's and O's, but also just kind of shooting the breeze. And so that's the stuff that I really love. In terms of basketball, I had Kansas State, West Virginia in Morgantown. And I'm a K-State alum. Bob Huggins is the head coach at West Virginia. He was the head coach his one season in Manhattan, Kansas, when I was a student. I remember that year very well. And so that was kind of a pinch me moment where I thought, man, this is just really cool to be sitting and talking with Bob Huggins about his time at K-State when I was a student. And I wouldn't say he warmed up to me with the storyline, but he was maybe a little less cold to me than I think he would be some other guys that didn't have that connection.
I'm sure maybe probably he mumbled a little bit louder when he was talking to James. Well, it was so great to see. James Wessling is our guest. He is the ESPN personality based out of Salina, Kansas. You'll be seeing him. You've got Memphis this week again, that's right?
Yeah, last weekend I had Memphis, North Texas, a game that had 35 points scored in the last fourth quarter between the two teams. It went right down to the wire. It was 45-42. Memphis scored on basically a walk-off touchdown with 12 seconds to go. This weekend I have South Florida at Memphis. South Florida's had some good teams over the years, and they're actually pretty good this year. They're above 500. Memphis is 6-2. Their only two losses are to ranked teams, Tulane and Mizzou. So I think it should be a pretty good Group of Five matchup this weekend.
Channel?
ESPN Plus for that one.
On the Plus. So he's got action this week with the AAC. And I know that even though you're covering the American Athletic Conference, probably still keeping a very close eye on what's going on at your alma mater with Kansas State, back-to-back blowout victories. What is it about the Cats that's allowed them to put a couple of bad performances behind them here and really start to play much better with really overwhelming victories against TCU a couple weeks ago and then obviously a shutout victory over Houston last week?
Yeah, I think that this season is shaping up, and I'm not saying that K-State's going to play for another Big 12 championship, although it would not shock me the way they're playing. But I think this year for K-State football is a lot like it was last year. Remember, K-State lost to Tulane in the non-conference. They had an early loss in the Big 12 season, and K-State fans were pushing the panic button just like this year. And I think that this coaching staff deserves a lot of credit. I think this coaching staff is built a lot like Coach Snyder's teams and staffs were, in that, you know, they get so much better as the season progresses. And we're going into week 10, and this team is really hitting on all cylinders. I won't be shocked if K-State goes into Austin and wins that game outright against Texas this weekend without Quinn Ewers. K-State's due for a win over Texas. I just think that K-State matches up really, really well to go in there and pull off the upset. In terms of X's and O's, I think that it took the defense a while to adjust without Daniel Green, their star linebacker who suffered that season-ending injury. The secondary's got a lot better. Schematically, they're a lot better. And offensively, tip your hat to Will Howard. You know, him and Avery Johnson have to have, you know, one of the, maybe the best in terms of two quarterbacks that both play, you know, 1-2 punch in the country in terms of their skill sets. So I think the offensive line was challenged by this coaching staff, and they obviously deserve a lot of credit, but it's been impressive, this turnaround. You can see it. I mean, K-State's getting better on a week-to-week basis.
James, you know, with the Big 12, with the 14 teams now, and I know with K-State not playing Oklahoma this year, but they still got Texas coming up today. You know, just your thoughts on how the Big 12 has just kind of expanded. I know with Oklahoma and Texas leaving for the SEC, and then with the addition of Arizona State, and Utah coming, and Colorado coming in next year. You know, what are your thoughts on you know, just how the Big 12 is continuing to expand?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for the league and for us as fans, these new teams that are coming in. Personally, I hate it. I hate college football.
I also hate it. I hate it.
I grew up, I can remember watching Big 8 games with my dad in our living room, and even, you know, thinking it was weird at the age of like 9 years old when the Big 12 expanded to 12 and brought in the Texas schools, and thinking how strange that was. And here we are, the Texas schools now, you know, feel like the close ones in terms of proximity.
Yeah, so, I know.
I don't like it. With that said, I think, you know, the Big 12 has done an exceptional job of not only surviving, but thriving. I think that they've brought in some really good programs from out west. And I know that, you know, those parts of the country, maybe they don't get the viewership that they do on the East Coast. But I think all things considered, you know, the new commissioner saw the writing on the wall. You know, we can't compete with the SEC and the Big Ten in terms of dollars, so let's go get, you know, the best of the rest. And I think it's still going to be a really, really good league. I don't think it's in danger of, you know, dissolving by any means at any point. So,
isn't that wild that Colorado, of all the teams,
I love Colorado coming back?
So do I. But isn't it wild? Because I know that you, if you would have told Bill Walton, if he would have, you know, taken a little bit of time to stop, you know, doing whatever he does before he gets on the air with his T-shirt to do Pac-12 games, you would have told those kind of people that the Pac-12 would be dissolving instead of the Big 12. I'm not sure they would have believed you 5 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. They would have laughed you out of the room.
Yes.
And I remember, gosh, it would have been about this time last year. I think it was last September. I had a football game at Oregon State. I remember talking to people up there, hey, are you guys a little bit nervous about the Pac-12? And, you know, where does Oregon State fit into all of this if some of these schools leave? And nobody was bothered by it. And sure enough, you know, less than a year later, I don't know what's going to happen with Oregon State and Washington State and where they'll end up and what that's going to look like. So it's weird to me because, you know, the Pac-10, like it used to be, you know, back when we were kids, was a dominant league, and right up there with all the others in the country. So it's kind of sad in my eyes to see it basically no longer exist. But with that said, I think the Big 12 got a really good group. And, you know, in terms of basketball, so this conference, I think, you know, I think the commissioner's gone all in on making this a basketball conference. Not to say football is not important; it certainly is. But basketball wise,
it's going to be brutal.
Number one league in the country, yeah, number one league in the country for many, many years to come.
James Wessling is our guest, ESPN play-by-play out of Salina, Kansas, and it's wild as well right now. You talk about a great quarterback punch there at Kansas State. In our lifetime, for sure, probably since we were both in school, and actually probably more so than that because Kansas State was not in its best, you know, way when we were both in school, which was about the same time, not to date you or anything, but how crazy is it that KU and Kansas State are both trending upward in the same direction at this time of such massive college upheaval?
I absolutely love it. I do. I think it's great for the state. I think these are two legitimate programs, and not to toot my own horn, but, you know, we have a local sports talk show here, and I said all summer Kansas was for real. I know their schedule was tougher on paper, but they were the most experienced team from a season ago coming back. I mean, they had more percent of their production coming back and snaps than any other team in all of college football. And I just could not overlook that. I trust Lance Leipold and his staff, and I think these are two teams that deserve to be where they're ranked. I don't know, you know, statistically, I don't have the number in front of me. The last time I can remember them both being ranked was like 09, but K-State was kind of a fraud. You know, I think K-State lost.
Right.
Six, I think, you know, K-State started like 4-2 and then lost their last, you know, six games or whatever
well,
it was.
KU started 5-0 that year and lost the rest of their games, so they were both fraudulent that year.
yes, that's the season I'm thinking of. This. So outside of that, I mean, you talk about a throwback. I'd have to go all the way back to like 1995 maybe, when KU under Glenn Mason got in the top 10. They had, who is the kid at running back? T.J. Henley maybe?
I mean, it was June Henley, if I recall correctly.
June Henley, that's it. June Henley. Man, he was a stud. And K-State was obviously really good.
Yeah, they beat KU by about 40 points that year.
Yeah, I think the year before it was close. It was like 21-14 with Chad May at quarterback. And then the next year, I think it was 95 that K-State blitzed them. But both teams were in the top 10.
Yes.
And, you know, this is as close to that as I can remember.
Hey, James, I got a tough one for you. Is there any particular football stadium or even basketball arena that's maybe on your schedule that you're looking forward to going to, or is there one that you hope to broadcast from eventually in the future?
So for football, I've had a game at Bill Snyder Family Stadium last year. I had K-State's opener against South Dakota. That was a real thrill, but I had obviously been in that stadium many, many times. I think, you know, calling a game at Oklahoma or even Oklahoma State would be really, really cool for football. I see a lot of really impressive stadiums in the American. Florida Atlantic has a ginormous stadium. That school is a sleeping giant. North Texas has a really neat stadium that many of your listeners have probably driven by at some point,
yeah,
right when you're coming into Dallas and Denton. I go to Memphis this week. East Carolina, you know, they're not good this year, but they still show up and get, you know, 40,000+ people in their stadium. So for football, yeah, I would say that. For basketball, I've seen a lot of the Big 12 arenas. I have not called a game at Allen Fieldhouse on television. That would obviously be a bucket list moment. But I think for TV, I'll probably be on the Big 12. The American doesn't have a lot of games that are hired by Linear ESPN. I think going to BYU would be really unique for basketball. So, yeah, let's go Allen Fieldhouse, which is the old that's obviously kind of a chalk answer. But I'll throw in my sleeper pick and go with BYU for basketball.
James Wessling out of Salina on ESPN. Once again, you can catch him on the Plus for some action this week, the American Athletic Conference on ESPN Plus. James, basketball season rolls around in February. We're going to have you back.
That'd be great. That'd be great, man. I love college basketball more than probably the average fan. It's one of my favorite sports, and I'm all in on basketball. I think it's going to be an incredible year in the Big 12.
Awesome. We'll look forward to it. Thank you, James.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the Chiefs are flying international this week, and it's time for our weekly chat with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Of course, as always, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS number 424226. And as always, Mitch appears on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line. Mitch, great to speak with you yet again.
Yeah, sehr gut. Aufgeregt für das Spiel. Excited for the game, but Frankfurt, Germany. It's us.
Mitch, you know, I listened to the broadcast, and Patrick Mahomes, obviously, on the pregame injury report, certainly didn't look himself. The Chiefs didn't look like themselves. How sick and how was Patrick feeling during that game against the Broncos?
He was very ill. Now, don't take it as an excuse, because the Broncos, I think I even sounded the alarm to you guys on the show on Saturday before we left, of saying the Chiefs are going to have to be on their A game to beat Denver. And there's just a lot of factors in that game. One, the main one, was the fact that Denver was tired of losing to the Chiefs 16 straight times. But the biggest piece in trying to deal with adversity in that game, of which there were many things, was the fact that he was very sick. He was up all night vomiting, and they were – Rick Burkholder is our vice president for – he's our main athletic trainer at Sports Performance, and him and his staff were up with him, you know, pretty much trying to get him at least functional, pumping him of, you know, fluids and trying to replace and keep him hydrated. But he was I don't even want to put a percentage on it, but he was pretty sick in trying to fight through that game.
Mitch, you know, everyone was expecting Mecole Hardman when he returned, and then he muffed the punt. I know you got to trust the process and everything, especially with Mecole coming back and still trying to relearn some things. What's kind of different this time around with Mecole Hardman, knowing he's coming back into the Chiefs system?
Well, we saw the energy that he gave in the Charger game, and his ability, his quickness and speed brings a whole new element to the jet sweep flip pass game. And there was actually a play, an RPO, that was designed to go to him that, looking back on it, Pat maybe should have given it to him on a jet sweep in the game against the Broncos. Now, the muff punt, honestly, I worried about it a little bit in the Charger game, only because he hadn't had any reps doing it. Now, he's done it in his career, but he didn't have any returns for the Jets. I'm not sure he had any even in the preseason. And so he was out there cold, but, yeah, he was out there cold. And then to get the 50-yard return against the Chargers, but then for him to, I was just worried about him maybe trying to do too much or dropping one. As you go back and look at the video of that game, it was actually a discombobulated situation anyway, because we thought they were going to go for it, and then they put the or kick a field goal, and they put the punt unit out there. So we were running dudes in and out, and surprisingly, we even got 11 guys on the field for that. So that's an instance where Denver surprised us. Mecole, if he had more returns, probably should have noticed it and just called for a fair catch. But that wasn't the only play. It was a huge play. But, you know, Sky drops the touchdown in the end zone, and then we had the situation. I thought it was the biggest play of all of them, was after the blocked field goal. So it's 14-9 Broncos. They drive, use 8 minutes and 36 seconds, and go 13 plays and don't score when Justin Reed blocked the field goal. And then after that, the Chiefs had a chance to seize the game, I thought, and change the complexion mentality of the game. But Rashee Rice drops a pass that would have been an 18-yard gain to me. And then there were 12 guys in the huddle on the next play. Now that made it 2nd and 12. That ended up being a nothing, and we had to punt. There was a chance that I thought seize the game mentally, emotionally, and physically at the point, because if we go score and go up 16-14, Denver's done everything they can do. Mahomes is sick, and yet it's we're going to have a lead of 2. So, truthfully, that play to me actually looms as the biggest of all of the other ones.
Mitch Holt is joining us, the voice of the Chiefs. Of course, you can have breakfast with Mitch coming up on Sunday, 7 a.m. for the pregame coverage on Country 101.7. And if I'm not mistaken, this will be your first trip to broadcast the Chiefs in Germany. What are you looking forward to?
Well, it's my home country. Now, it's a long way from, I've got a really good research on my paternal side. My great-grandfather, who was an orphan, raised by his aunt and uncle, but they were from the Schleswig-Holstein area, which is up toward the North Sea, and Hamburg is the largest city. So we're a long way from there in Frankfurt, but just to kind of be in the home country, so to speak. And the German people are fascinating. It's unfortunate that, you know, the evil took control of this country in 1933, 32, and the atrocities that happened. But if you look at the German people for centuries, you're talking Beethoven and Bach and Luther and others that were scientists and engineers and composers. A lot of our culture right now in the States has a derivative with German influence, a lot of it. And so I'm anxious to see that and to be, you know, to be in this country.
One of the things that you talked about, and by the way, if you want even more Chiefs content outside the Chiefs Kingdom show on the broadcast, we've got the Minute with Mitch with you every noon hour on Country 101.7, and you talked about the expanding fan base, and they've got a marketing program with the NFL and Germany, and Frankfurt is one of the Chiefs' main international markets. How has that process gone with global marketing, and what are you expecting in terms of the German fan base that'll be coming to the game and hopefully rooting for you guys?
Yeah, they're going crazy here, going crazy. There's been events, you know, Friday, Saturday. We have the championship on the main river. It's pretty cool, but It's really a love affair that started a while back. First of all, Germans love American football, I think more than any per capita of any European country. 20% of the population are actively involved in American football, much like the you two are, or anybody that listens to us on Saturday mornings. They love it. They're really loving the Chiefs. I mentioned this in the Minute with Mitch. We're number one in merchandise sales in the global marketing efforts in Germany. Look at the German flag, because it's the colors of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Red and gold.
Red, gold flag. Yep, and that's the German colors. I mean, you see their national teams come out in red and gold. So the hottest selling thing has been, and I'll put this on Twitter maybe today, is the German flag with the arrowhead in the middle of it. Because it fits perfect. Like, yeah. Wow, okay, this is Germany's team. But a lot of the German people feel like the Chiefs are their team. Mahomes is incredibly popular, I share a call a mini sub in the practice facility with two guys who spend a good deal of their time working on German marketing. So this is just getting started, boys. This is, we'll be back and we'll do other things throughout the year because Germany is a strategic focus of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What do you think? Dallas, America's team, Kansas City, Germany's team, Dylan? That sounds I'll take that.
I'll take it too.
Well, and we've got a inside the fort strategy of being the world's team.
Sure.
There we go. And Kelsey but Germany leads the way with that. The Germans are like, yeah, follow us. We like these guys.
Mitch, what scares you about the Dolphins? I know with Tyreek Hill on that side, And with Tua, you know, with them having a fantastic season, what kind of jumps out to you right away?
The fact that they can get huge runs when they are on, Dylan, when they're on their mark and they're cooking, they're getting giant runs from Raheem Mostert and Achane when he's healthy, the rookie out of Texas A&M, and even the third guy. They lead the league with 50-plus runs. They have six of them. That's crazy. So they're not just running the ball at 4 or 6 yards. They're running the ball at 50 to 60 to 70 yards. And when that's made them so explosive, and you have to respect, obviously, Tyreek Hill. That's not a scientific statement. And you've got to deal, you know, you've got to deal with Waddle. I mean, he's a load. But it's these running backs that can gash you for – it's not just jet chip loss for 50 or 60 yards. It's a basic running play that they can take to the house. That's where they're really scary because you're going to have to pay attention to the receivers. You cannot give the front seven, front six many times much help and sneak guys into the box and be a run defender. Those guys are going to have to win and make tackles. So Mostert's not – getting 200 yards rushing. Just look at them and their season thus far. And that frightens me a little bit. The other thing that I think that's kind of basic. What's not as basic or a little bit more sublime is the fact that we're facing a second straight opponent. Remember, Denver was motivated by losing to us 16 straight times. That gets in your pancreas, man. It just is in your craw all year long. Those guys were not going to lose to us. They're thinking, not today. I mean, you watch Josie Jewell's play on Marquez Valdes-Scantling to strip him of the ball, and he's looking for other dudes to, like, rip apart. They just weren't going to do it. And when you get those long streaks like that, that was a big deal for them. Here's what's the big deal for Miami. That's the bigger narrative. They've had 12 straight wins against teams with either 500 or losing records. They have not beaten a team with a winning record since early last year. So they need to validate who they are, which they think they're the best team in the AFC. People talk about the Bengals and the Bills and the Chiefs. They're going, what about us? They're going, until you beat a team that's the Bengals, the Bills, or the Chiefs, you're not in the equation. This game tomorrow against the Chiefs could be that game. So you see my point. There's motivation here for the Dolphins. That's a bigger, long-form, bigger picture, much like the Broncos had last week.
Well, Mitch, I've been a big tennis fan for a lot of my life, so I'm going to get you out of here on this. Obviously, the tradition for a number of years, strawberry and cream, breakfast at Wimbledon. I'm assuming you've done some research on this, just talking here today. So tomorrow, as our Country 101.7 listeners are getting you on at 7 o'clock with the kickoff, 8 o'clock hour Central Time on Country 101.7, a breakfast with Mitch at the Chiefs in Germany, what should be on the menu?
Schnitzel. All the way. I don't even talk about it. Schnitzel. So
I've actually had that. It's actually really good.
It is very good. You got to get the right kind of schnitzel. You got to be careful because you can get some bad schnitzel. But schnitzel. Yeah. Yeah. They're good. Yeah.
That sounds great. Mitch, really appreciate it. Mitch, as always, appears with us, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and maybe a schnitzel recipe. They've also talked to you about the ease of getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Mitch, fly safe.
Danke, and bis später, and Prost, and tschüss. So,
thanks, Mitch.
See you, boys. Thanks.
Yeah.
Also, there is Mitch with some breakfast options. Dylan, what do you think? Schnitzel tomorrow?
I'd go for it.
Okay. Well, so there you go. The voice of the Chiefs off to call this game tomorrow and flying back. Of course, the Chiefs Kingdom show, I believe, will be at its normally scheduled time on Monday, 6 o'clock. So it'll be at a Hy-Vee in the Kansas City area coming up on the Chiefs Radio Network. And, of course, Chiefs on in the morning, 7 a.m. It'll be a little bit interesting. Wrapping things up here today for Saturday Morning Sports Talk, the other action that we've got for you across the KVUE network of stations today. Kansas State is in action. That's a morning pregame for you today on Country 101.7. Kansas State football kicking off at 11 o'clock today. Final ever matchup for the Wildcats against number 7, Texas. And boy, the Wildcats, they owe Texas. Texas has tripped up the Wildcats a lot of times here recently. I know they would love to give them one nice little kick out the door to the SEC.
Just like KU did against Oklahoma.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
But that one felt good. But I think you got to like how Will Howard's playing right now for K-State. I know Avery Johnson might get in the mix as well, but no Quinn Ewers for Texas. They struggled against Houston a couple weeks ago, but got past BYU last week. So, I mean, I think K-State's going to bring it all.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. And then, obviously, KU we will have for you. That's an evening kickoff, 4:30 pregame coverage, and 6 o'clock for that kickoff on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE as the Jayhawks back into the top 25. But, you know, Lance Leipold said earlier this week, and KU hasn't always backed up these big wins particularly well, and I'm sure that the Cyclones will be locked in and trying to give the Jayhawks a loss. And, KU has got to be able, Lance Leipold, I think, said it best. Are you going to be satisfied with this win over Oklahoma? Tremendous win. Certainly the biggest win of the Lance Leipold era, by far the win that you look to, pin your hat to. But you lose this week, and a lot of that goes out the window.
Yeah, this is where KU's got to gain that momentum and
yes.
and keep it because, you know, Iowa State's a team that's on the rise. You know, they had all the gambling issues with some of their players
in the
preseason. And, I mean, they're in a tie for first place in the Big 12 right now. Well, they got
one loss.
By yeah. yeah, I mean, and I mean, when you don't play everybody. KU really needs to go into Ames and make a statement
yeah.
and keep it going because, I mean, you got Texas Tech left on the schedule, the big one with Kansas State coming up in a couple weeks, and then Cincinnati. So, I mean, there's a couple favorable games still on the schedule, and the Sunflower Showdown is going to be very, very good if both KU and K-State are playing at their prime right now here in a couple weeks.
It would be great if both those teams could continue to win, make that a top 25 game, and get some national. You know, I'm not sure if that's a game that College Game Day would show up for, but
it's possible.
But man, that would be pretty awesome if they could get a big noon kickoff or a College Game Day out to a top 25. Sunflower Showdown. But anyway, that's in the future, not coming up this weekend. Of course, we'll have Sunday Night Football for you on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. That will be coming up on Sunday. Monday Night Football as well, the same place. And we will have Emporia State Hornet football coming up for you today as the Hornets take on Missouri Southern. Senior Day, salute to service, kickoff at 1 o'clock, RV Doc pregame show at noon on Mix 104.9, and then the Emporia State basketball teams will be in action. Emporia State men's basketball in Florida at the SCB Hall of Fame Classic. Hope you'll join David Griffiths for the call as he'll have the play-by-play. It's going to sound a little old school. I don't know. Have you ever done a game on the phone, on Hardline?
I have. Okay. I have. So.
Well, it's going to sound like that because that's basically what we got. Because, I don't have the ability to be in Florida and here at the same time. Actually, I do, but they just can't afford it. It's really tiring.
Yeah.
They can't afford me to be able to do that. So we've got a broadcaster contracted to take care of it, but it's going to be a little bit lo-fi. But I'm just warning you right now, but we'll have the games on 6:30 for the RV Doc pregame show, and it's going to be a 7 o'clock tip-off. Today, Saturday, and tomorrow, Sunday, they're playing Virginia Union and a UNC Pembroke team, the Braves, that has back-to-back 20-plus win seasons, back-to-back Conference Carolinas championships, and back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances. So it's going to be a major eye-opening, like early barometer, where are the Hornets? They're going to get a big test in this game.
Most definitely, and it's going to get them ready for MIAA play, too. And
yes.
It's big. When you get early tests, you got to look at the film once those games happen and then get better and go from there.
So that is our show for today. Thank you very much to Dan Courtright in the penalty box, our studio engineer for today. For Dylan, I am Blake. This is KVOE Emporia, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
Live and local, 1400 AM, KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Secretary of State Antony Blinken continuing his meetings in the Middle East as he seeks to prevent the war between Israel and Hamas from escalating. In Israel Friday, he said,
"We need to do more to protect Palestinian civilians."
But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rejected any kind of pause in the fighting. He says that's because hostages need to be freed. Meanwhile, Doctors Without Borders calls a strike near a hospital in Gaza a new low in an endless stream of unconscionable violence. ABC's Matt Rivers has more from Israel.
Large explosions rocked the area near Gaza City's biggest hospital, as Israel said it was targeting an ambulance being used by Hamas to transfer weapons and fighters.
Back in the U.S., President Biden and the First Lady were in Lewiston, Maine, Friday, 9 days after 18 people were killed in a mass shooting. ABC's Morgan Norwood has details.
The president once again taking on the role of comforter-in-chief, paying respect to the victims and renewing his call for stronger gun control measures.
This is about protecting our freedom to go to a bowling alley, a restaurant, a school, a church, without being shot and killed.
And amid the heartbreak, questions now about missed warning signs and whether suspect Robert Card's guns should have been taken under Maine's yellow flag law.
The Supreme Court's going to hear arguments involving the Biden administration's push to ban gun modifiers known as bump stocks. The man who allegedly tried to drive his car through the gates of a South Carolina nuclear power plant's in custody. Authorities say 66-year-old Doyle Wayne Wisenhunt was wanted on drug charges in Arkansas. Oconee Sheriff Mike Crenshaw said there's no indication he was linked to a domestic terror group.
There was some indication from the Duke security folks that there appeared to be something not quite right, you know, with this individual.
You're listening to ABC News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hiring slowed in October, a sign the labor market is cooling off. There were 150,000 jobs added, according to the October jobs report. That was below expectations. But Indeed Hiring Labs' Nick Bunker says,
it's still a good labor market. The unemployment rate is below 4%. Employers are still adding jobs at an elevated rate, and there's still, you know, wage gains out there.
The Federal Reserve watching the labor market to determine the best methods to fight inflation. Not all areas of the White House are open.